still like pining for Lost Highway? Does it like hurt every time you see a jump?
It hurts. I mean, it is one of those things where I was happy when Blue Velvet came up in announcements, but it made, like, my second thought is, where the hell is Lost Highway? Like,
so it's
now, because they're not going to do two David Lynch's back to back, you know, in a month. So now I know that even if Lost Highway is on the docket, it is months away, even if it's the next one coming. But
year,
now
maybe.
I'm afraid the next one is going to be why can't I think of it?
Inland Empire.
Yes.
Or the Elephant Man, or the Straight Story. So yeah. So it's like you're being stabbed in the gut, and then you get to watch Blue Velvet. So for your recovery.
Right.
What's going on, Josh?
I'm back. I finished my Oscar run, and for the most part, and my wife and I did our little Oscar celebration and checked into a hotel. And,
that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Watched them live.
Points Hotel. And you know, we were going to do a post Oscar reaction, and we just decided, and that, you know what, I think let's do a little of that. Josh, you were a machine with the Oscars. So I think we would be missing out if we didn't get your takes a little bit. So I'll bring that up. But anyway, for people that don't know, this is episode 81. This week we learned we might not be able to have episode numbers in our podcast. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's weird.
I read it. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand anything about what I was reading because none of it made any sense.
All it looked like was weeks, months of work just for no particular reason and disorganization. So think of the master feed without episode numbers and episode names.
Yeah,
it's just like putting your hand in a fishbowl. I don't know. Don't do that.
The thing that confused me most is it seemed like, don't use episodes, numbers, and names, because what you want to do is you want to put more information in about your show. And then my thought was, wait,
that's
isn't
spam.
That all important information?
Yeah.
Isn't that how you establish what an episode is about?
What's most important, the stuff that's in it or the actual show? And I mean, I guess episode number is not important to everybody, but I think if you're following in sequence, you know, if I show you episode 46, you know, of Criterion Now, you're going to know it was last year. And of course, our show's different. I think, Doug, your show would probably survive. You might.
Why? Wait, no, well, I have episode numbers all over that thing.
I mean, it's not like you're in the zeitgeist of the moment. Now,
you might have
a Mitt Romney reference in your old episode. Like, hey, Mitt Romney's running for president. But
we haven't been around that long. I mean,
Ronald Reagan, man, did he open up all the mental institutions or what?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we just got a new friend that joined us.
I'm seeing the same thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll be an announcement in itself. We have a big name that's joining our podcast. So, yes, buckle up.
Awesome.
Big name, good friend. So, and it just popped up on all of our screens. So that's pretty sweet. and we're doing a show. Okay. Well, Doug and Josh, welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.
We're also. Usually we do Patreon shoutouts. This is like the first week in a long time that we don't have any. So guys, what's the deal? In fact, a couple of people deleted theirs. I get it. It's tax season. You know, it's a lot of money, and also we're busy. We're building this empire, so we will be putting up some bonus content soon. I think my busy period ends in about 2 weeks. I think, and then I can. And you know, you guys know I'm not sleeping around and doing nothing here. But,
yeah.
But
did you say you're not sleeping around? Is that okay? It's a good. I mean, your wife just got home.
Yeah.
Maybe you have to say that out loud. I understand.
I was complimenting your beard, Doug. So.
You know what?
People could take that the wrong way. No, I'm not even going to say that because my wife would not understand. She's in the other room. So Patreon, but please do support us. There is a little confusion. The Criterion Now Patreon is the URL. I think it's patreon patreon.com/criterion now, but at that is all the 25th frame. And we are going to have some bonus episodes coming out soon and some added channels too. So so come join us.
And you know what I would suggest listeners do is what I did, which is up your donation.
Yeah.
Go for the $10.
There you go.
Do it. It's well worth your time. It's well worth your money. Where else are you getting content like this?
And you get bonus content from all of the different channels too. It's great.
There you go. Boy, you guys are like paid advertisements for me.
Well, I know, and I'm paying you to advertise, which is crazy.
I know, it's great. I love it. Keep it up. Bump it up some more, Doug.
Oh, okay, sure.
No, but it supports the entire family, and actually it's one way that it's going to support us this month will be in growing the family. So we're doing fun stuff with it. We're not lining our pockets with cash. This podcasting thing is not our full-time job. So anyway, we have a show to do. We have episode 81, which we're allowed to put in the show notes. So let's dig into the Oscars a little bit. I mean, let's not spend too much time because I don't want this to become like a gripe fest. We had the Oscars. So this is how I'd like to... Did you guys hate the Oscars? I'm just going to ask that. Let's get it out of the way. Josh?
I will...
Doug. Sorry. It's alphabetical.
No. Doug. I was just going to say, I will let Josh handle this because I saw rarely any of the films and I did not watch the Oscars. So... Josh, you're up.
Okay.
Josh.
Okay. No, I didn't hate the Oscars. I strongly disagree with a number of the winners, but you know, it's the Oscars. I have made my peace with the fact that the films that I really want to see win will rarely win. But you know, there were some really lovely surprises and some nice moments, and so on that level, you know, it's fun. I was really happy to see Spike Lee win, and I liked his speech a lot. And
his jump in the air, jump into Sam Jackson's arms.
Yeah. I wish he would have won for Best Director, because I think that again, we're at 91 Oscars, and we still haven't had an African American filmmaker win Best Director, and that just feels like it needs to change soon. And Spike Lee seems to be the filmmaker who, if you want to reward someone for their decades of work, he's the one to do that. But you know,
I think it's a matter of time. Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, between Barry Jenkins and he won the Indie Spirit.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't think he was nominated, but
no,
there are just there's so much talent out there, and it's, I mean, it's probably always been there. I mean, we're going to be talking about Charles Burnett. You know, he's somebody that obviously he did some great work, but if he had more opportunities, he could have a statue, you know, if the industry was a little more favorable to. So, well, I'll just say that I liked that I got to go to bed early. Now, you're on the West Coast, Josh, so you're not...
So jealous.
My wife and I went to go see it.
When it comes to TV,
I know.
My wife and I went to go see a movie afterwards because you know we were like, "Hey,
see?
It's done. We're gonna lick our Oscar wounds after Green Book won, and we're gonna go see something light and fun."
There you go. Yeah, nice little poem there. I liked that the show was fast. I don't agree with everything. Our Slack is going wild, by the way. Notifications. We have a big guest that joined, and we'll announce that very, very soon. Somebody you know. Somebody that actually was at the Oscars. I think it's safe to say that.
Yeah.
Safe to say that? Yeah. One thing I will say. So I liked that there was... the show was fast. I liked that there was... It was not drowned out by, like, montage after montage. You know, even, you know, we don't have to see Kaiser Soze again or Vertigo or Titanic of all things. What I really appreciate about the Oscars, we have a friend of the show that her team won an Oscar for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. That's Becky Deanna. And so moments like Spike Lee, moments like Olivia Colman, and there were a lot of them, you know, even the people I didn't agree with, I love those moments of pure joy, recognition by your peers. I think that's what the Oscars really are about.
Yeah.
Ultimately it's a popularity contest, but you know, there are people that are popular with us too. So
I will say I loved Alfonso Cuarón's speeches. I thought his stuff was really, really great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something that did come out of the Oscars that I think is really interesting, and it's maybe too deep of an issue to completely get into here, but Spielberg has come out as a really big opponent of Netflix. And it turns out he was actively campaigning against Roma during Oscar season, saying that Netflix films need to be up for Emmys instead of Oscars. And he says that a vote for Green Book is a vote for cinema itself. And I find that really fascinating and really sad, since Netflix is really giving platform and voice to either filmmakers who are underrepresented, Tamara Jenkins with Private Lives. You know, we're getting people of color, we're getting women filmmakers who aren't able to get the funding by the major studios, and I think that Spielberg's kind of a vote for Green Book is a vote for cinema really is this kind of privileged, established perspective that I think we're going to see more and more changes in the cinema landscape and more of a redefinition of what is cinema, especially as we're looking at things like Maniac or the third season of Twin Peaks, which, you know, these are long form shows, but, you know, I think Twin Peaks made it to Sight and Sound's top films of the year.
That's interesting.
I think we're learning that the boundaries of cinema can be different. And I think that it's going to be interesting over the next few years as we have these holdouts who have a really narrow definition.
We've talked about having a Netflix episode. It'll probably be on the 25th Frame Features thing because it just doesn't fit on that. But I think it's worth talking about what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. I think they are bringing edgy programming. And I think they're one thing I heard about when watching Russian Doll and reading a little bit about it, which I highly recommend, by the way. I think it was my piece of flair at one point.
Yeah.
Is they said that they wanted them to push it to make it even edgier. So I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, let me just ask you both one question. Of the Oscar films that were nominated, which one do you think is most likely or the best fit to come out on Criterion? And let's not rumors, you know, all that Roma stuff aside. And Doug, I'll just ask you, and I know you haven't seen as many, so.
I only, out of the Best Picture nominees, I did see... oh my God! Is it bad for me to say what was the comic book movie?
Jesus, Spider-Man,
Black Panther.
Terrible. No, Black Panther. Okay, so I saw Black Panther, The Favorite, and Roma. I mean, give me Roma or The Favorite. I don't care. I would gladly have either of those. I know the rumors about Roma, and that would be a wonderful addition to the collection, of course.
Yeah. Josh?
Yeah, I think that those are the two most likely of the Best Picture nominees. I think it'll just be interesting to see how rights issues play out. Mm-hmm. I think that, Lanthimos's Dogtooth played on the Criterion Channel for a limited time. So he's a filmmaker that they would like to work with more. Yeah. I also think that Shoplifters would be a really great fit from the foreign language section, and possibly even Border. Which was up for Best Makeup. It's a Swedish film about trolls, and it's a really fascinating.
Are they on the internet?
Actual okay, trolls, good. Actual magical trolls.
Is there a distinction? Okay.
Maybe not. But I think that...
So is this like a serious documentary?
Yes, okay. It is. It is.
Okay, all right. Okay.
I mean, yeah. I think that film is another one that, because of kind of the magical realism of it, in the very kind of loose camera style, I think it would fit really well with some of the other... films that Criterion releases. But again, it all depends on what studio wants to release it here and what the studios want to negotiate with Criterion.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I wonder about too is, I mean, so many of Criterion's contemporary films that they do release, I don't want to say aren't released to as much fanfare, but just the attention Roma has gotten I don't want to say that that puts them out of, you know, out of reach of Criterion, but I don't know a whole lot of contemporary films that they have then gotten the right and released that kind of, you know, garnered as much attention as that film did.
You know what? I'm going to take a detour. So I have an idea. And I'm no best picture, Bohemian Rhapsody. Come on.
Yeah. No, that's not going to come.
I'm thinking that, so, okay, sure. Foreign films, possibly, Roma, possibly. The Best Picture nominations are probably going to go to studios. Those are, at least at first, maybe 10 years down the road. What I would like to see is something like Hail County.
Yes.
Come to Criterion.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did come out with a little Romel Ross discussion about his influences on the Criterion channel. So I'm not reading the tea leaves. I'm not saying it's a fit, but how do you say it? Koyaanisqatsky?
Yeah, I think so. The Kotze trilogy.
Sure.
The Kotze trilogy. I'm already catching hell. So something like that, or even, Minding the Gap, that's another conversation because of Hulu, but I would love to see a documentary come out on Criterion. So, all right, well, since we're on the Criterion show, let's get away from the Oscars.
Sounds good.
Let's just turn left. Yeah. All right, there was no flash sale. What is going on, guys?
I don't know. I enjoyed listening to, I just listened to your episode with Cole and Erica, and I enjoyed listening to you say, oh, you know what? It'll probably be on the 17th. And you know what? But if it's not then, it'll be the next week. And you know what? Even if it's not the next week, you know, we got the next week after that. And it's
one of these days I'll get it
2020,
right.
But yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm kind of, and again, something else you were talking about on that episode, Aaron, I'm kind of in a spending freeze myself. So I'm kind of glad there's no flash sale. I'm not too tempted. So you know what? Keep pushing it back if you want to.
I do want to watch those though. Now that Oscar season's over, you know, it's it's a lot to catch up on. We thought it would be Tuesday. This next Tuesday, there's no releases coming out. There's really nothing until March 12th. So that what does that mean? I will give Michael Hutchins some credit. He speculated in our forum thread that the Bergman box might be the reason they're delaying it, because they're ramping up production. I'm sure they're printing materials, trying. It was going to come out in February, and I haven't heard of anybody actually ordering one and receiving one from that second printing. So that, but it would make sense. They're going to sell a lot of those during the flash sale. Do you think that viable, Josh?
Yeah, I think that's definitely viable. You know, I try to not worry too much about when the flash sale will happen. I know it'll happen sometime in February or March. It's been in March before. It's I can wait. I'm like Doug, you know, being really careful with my spending money right now. We're trying to save and pay down debts, and the Seattle housing market is crazy, so we're trying to save up to be able to buy a place in the next 3 to 5 years. So we're really being careful with how we're allocating money, and I have myself a media budget, and I'm setting that money aside. So I have enough to catch up on the releases, but I'm waiting until the flash sale. So, you know, when it comes, and I'll catch up, and that'll be great.
Will they take an out of print The Man Who Fell to Earth as part of a down payment?
I think they might. I think they might. I'm working with my bank on that.
Just bring a box of discs to Wells Fargo.
Exactly.
That's a very specific banker there. I mean, that's really tough to find. But if you do, that's great. And also, let me know their number.
I will.
I think that's one thing. You know, we talk about buying stuff, and there's the whole completionist versus anti-completionist. And I'm saying be responsible. So right now, we have a house and house payment. So, but I did buy To Sleep With Anger for $22 on Amazon because I wanted something.
Nice.
So, but I wouldn't have bought it for $30. That's where I think $25 is where I draw the line. But flash sale, it's coming Tuesday, and this episode won't be out by Tuesday. So I'm going to look like a fool. No, I think it's coming. We'll see when. But speaking of March, so we're in March. And this is one of those few occasions where by the time the episode comes out, the releases won't be out yet. So it's not too dated, but I'll just ask for quick takes on the March releases. This month, here in a couple weeks, we're getting The Kid Brother and The Magic Flute. So some Harold Lloyd and this dude named Ingmar Bergman. Then we have the week after that, Detour and Wanda. And then we have the end of the month, we have I Want to Hold Your Hand and Japan. I don't know. It's not Japan, but there is an accent. So yeah, I should be tread carefully.
Is it Hapon?
I think it's probably Hapon. Yeah.
Hapon. Okay. So, all right, we'll just say of this grouping, you know, like if you're flash sale aside, pick two that you would buy.
Ooh, Josh. That's tough.
This is not an easy show.
I know. I would probably go with Hapon and Wanda. Hapon, because I just don't know Regatta's work at all, and I'm excited to dig into that. And Wanda, because I have not heard anything but great things about this film. So it's a blind spot for me. I've seen Detour. Harold Lloyd. I like Harold Lloyd, but... But yeah, I think Hapon and Wanda are the ones. I can wait for the others.
Okay.
And I won't be getting the magic flute because it's in the box set.
Me neither. That's one thing. The Bergman box set is shredding completionism.
It is.
what about you, Doug?
I'm going to go with Hapon as well, but I'll choose Detour. I haven't seen Detour in a very long time, and I swear last time I saw it was, you know, on YouTube in the crummiest looking version. Like, I love the film, but I can't wait to see it. And Hapon, I don't know what to expect. Like you had said, Josh, I'm not familiar with the filmmaker's other films. I don't know what to expect. And I love the... I think somebody called it Atari box art.
Yes, yes.
Look of that. It's great. Gorgeous. Like that is, I want a poster of that. Like I hope I'm the dummy. I think someone on, I don't know if it was, I don't know who it was, but you know, talked about who takes the inserts and unfolds them into posters and actually hangs them up. That's me. I do that. So I want more of that stuff in these. I'll read the back and then I'll put it up on my office wall. And it'll stay there forever. I don't mind removing that stuff from the box. And that's a gorgeous... I hope there's some sort of fold-out in there.
It is a nice cover. And I'm the guy that will buy posters and leave them in tubes. And
just leave them in the tube?
Yeah. I've been in my house for 3 months now, and they are still in the... I guess you technically call it the parlor room. So I haven't decided if I want, Yapon to greet my visitors, or maybe even vendors, or maybe Bergman. Why not? Just you want to know me? Come walk in, and there's Ingmar.
Yep.
Or Persona. So yeah, I think for me, I think Wanda is the biggest one. I think that's like that's the find this month. And I haven't seen it, and I always look forward to these sacred cows. And so many people I respect love it. So I really really can't wait to see that. And actually, I'm going to surprise you guys. I've kind of come around, or I'm a little more interested in I Want to Hold Your Hand by Zemeckis. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I won't say that Zemeckis is this genius auteur, but I think Peter Labuza changed my thinking on him and just him championing it. I'd like to see what he sees. So I'm going to say that. But the thing is, I think it's a really solid month, Magic Flute aside, because that'll be on the box set. So yeah, I'm going to buy them all in May when they have a flash sale.
Yep.
then we have, there's an airplane going over. Can you guys hear it?
Not really.
No.
You will when the final, our listeners can hear it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Another big thing was My Criterion is back, but it's now called My Collection. And they'd already teased that this was going to happen, and they kind of also, you know, just quashed our expectations that it was not going to be lists. You could have a wish list of what you want, but it's more tied into the shopping cart system. So I don't know if you guys had a chance to look at it yet, but I'll just ask you both. I want to know what you like and what you don't like about it. Doug, have you looked at it yet?
I looked at it briefly. I mean, to be honest, I never really took advantage of My Criterion. I set it up when I discovered it years and years ago, and I went, oh, this is amazing. I'll put all my films. I never went back to it. Like, I would lag so far behind, so my wish list would be all out of date. I'd buy stuff, and then I wouldn't update it. So I mean, I understand why people enjoyed it. I never took advantage of it, never really used it, and haven't really taken time to look at the new version.
Yeah, it's funny that the wish list is still there because we haven't had access to it for 6 months. So it's like my wish list is, I don't know, Magnificent Ambersons or probably even older than that.
Actually, the wish list was still working. I've been using the wish list. Using the wish list quite a bit. I don't use much of the I never used my Criterion for anything other than logging my collection. I don't know. I looked at it and my collection is fine. I'm glad that they've kept everything. I'm glad that it actually has all of my out of print Merchant Ivory films listed there. That's fun. I feel like there are so many other places where we create lists. There are so many other places where we can keep track of our collection. I just don't know that it's necessarily – it's not as important to me as the wish list function, which I use for flash sales and purchases.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So, all right, I'll be a little more positive. Not that you guys are neckheads or anything. You guys aren't bringing us down. But I like that it is incorporated into the shopping cart system and the order system. And it looks like that was a deliberate choice. This isn't Letterbox Part 2. This is about commerce. This is about selling stuff. And I didn't use it either. There are better options. In fact, even Criterion said, go to Letterbox. Don't worry about our... And they're right. It's better. Why reinvent the wheel? Letterbox did reinvent that wheel, and they did it better.
Yeah.
But I do like that you can see your orders. So I can just go... at a glance, go look at those, look at my wish list, my collection. I'm not going to update my collection because it's just based on stuff you've either bought or stuff that you have clicked on. But the thing is, it's pretty much all of them. So
yeah.
And then the dashboard is, it's just a dashboard. It's fine.
Yeah.
I can see my credit card is up to date and I can see that I once shipped something to Keith Enright.
Yeah.
So I guess I've been nice once. You're welcome, Keith. So all right. Yeah. So it's a nothing burger.
Yeah, I think so. As far as I'm concerned, but I do know. I mean, but that's just me personally. I know some people are thrilled to have it back, and good for you if you're one of those people.
All right. Well, speaking of being thrilled to have something back, we finally got a newsletter clue. Did you all doubt or did you wonder whether we were going to ever get one again?
No. No, they were going to come back. I think
you're the optimist.
having 1 month where there wasn't a newsletter clue is honestly, they've been sending out weekly newsletters now. They used to do a monthly newsletter. They've been sending them out weekly. I think with this, it was the first time we've had a newsletter clue in a weekly newsletter. And so I think they're just figuring out how they want to do this. And I think it worked really well.
And I like the weekly newsletters because I like that, kind of like this show, we're always talking about what's coming out this week. The monthly newsletters felt like, all right, been there, seen it, done it. So I like that newness. So good job them. And it reminds me, Sleep with Anger is going to be on my porch on Tuesday. Let me make sure it doesn't get stolen.
Yeah.
Doug, what do you think?
Man, I sound like such an ignorant moron by saying I didn't even notice that there wasn't I get the newsletters just like anyone, and sometimes there's a clue, sometimes there isn't. I never know like what their schedule is. I guess other people know when newsletter clues are dropping. I mean, to be honest, I would have had no idea if it didn't even happen now.
It was tough to find because I don't know if you guys have been scrolling through every week's newsletter. I'd like to catch the highlights, but I don't. But I will now. And so anyway, the newsletter clue was the CloudCap. Well, I think the universal consensus is it is the CloudCap Star by Ritwik Ghatak. I'm sure I nailed that. And if you look at the clue is pretty literal.
Yeah.
So any other alternate thoughts? Something it could be? No.
No.
Yes.
No, I think jokingly I put A Star Is Born just because we were in Oscar fever at that point. But then I even think I wrote, I don't think stars are birthed from clouds. So that, no, of course this is what it is. Yeah.
Now, this is brand new to me. So it's part of this trilogy. And in fact, even I know this Criterion Forum just went full on and said, oh, his Bengal Partition trilogy is coming. I'll just say that I think it's fascinating that we're going to get some more Indian cinema.
Yeah.
I remember
definitely
Guru Dutt was talked. Did I say that right? I might have the name wrong. Was talked about getting released. You know, I think we were talking about this 5 years ago, and it hasn't happened. So I'll just jump ball. Anybody know this work or have anything to contribute?
I don't. No. Yeah. I don't know the film. This is the first I've heard of it. And honestly, that is what makes me most excited about it. I love discovering films. I'm a pretty much a self-taught cinephile, and I love being introduced to directors that I've never experienced before. So I'm really excited for this.
Yeah, I would love a new box set. So this is... You know, if you don't know, I love Criterion, by the way, FYI. But this is why, because something that was not on my radar, I think I probably heard of it at some point. You know, somebody mentioned it, and like, okay, well, maybe I'll try to check out Mr. Gattak's filmography, The Bengal Partition. But the thing is, we don't have a wish list on it. I don't have to have a pad of paper writing a wish list everywhere I go. So, I think it's fantastic. So I'm looking forward to seeing it someday, if it's true, and I think it is.
I mean, more world cinema. I'm so excited. Just like, come on, South American films, African films. Let's do this. Let's dip our toes, you know, and Criterion does a great job of that, but I'm always excited when they do more.
And there was actually a Film Foundation announcement, and I meant to collect the link, but I forgot. But they acquired some more African films.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't know the names anyway. So if I find the link, I'll put it in the show notes. But I love that they're doing this active curation. So we just talked about Yapon is a South American title. You know, there's not a lot from South America, and there's really, aside from like WCP, really nothing from Africa except for Black Girl. India, I believe it's all Satyajit Ray, right?
Yeah, I think so for the most part. I think we had a couple in the WCP box sets too, but
did we? Okay,
yeah.
So more foreign or more international from different corners, more diverse, inclusive film. Go Criterion. Let's see some more cultures. Come on, now.
Yeah.
So
that just rolls off the tongue. That's.
That's my job. Right, well. making bad pronunciations roll off the tongue, which they don't. No. Well, some kind of boring news, and I'll just kind of gloss over it. So Hedvig was confirmed for like the eighth time. So it was confirmed for August. So, all right, I guess we can expect an announcement. Next is June. So, in a couple months. Yeah,
sure.
Go ahead and stack our poll, not this month, but the next time. And maybe there'll be a surprise. It'll be next month. And then Mark Cousins officially confirmed that The Eyes of Orson Welles is coming on Criterion and Jana's films through a tweet. So we've already talked about that ad nauseum. The more interesting discussion is whether there's going to be more Welles as part of this. And I think we're all... drinking the Citizen Kane Kool-Aid, but so I'll just ask you guys. Well, all right, first I'll ask: you excited for Hedvig?
Yeah, definitely. I really, really like that film. I have a soft spot for musicals, and I really loved this the first time I saw it, and so I'm excited to see that one come back or come into the collection. Yeah,
me too. I mean, I had not seen it since it was in the theaters. Aaron, I believe on last episode you said it was 2001, 2002. So it was a long time ago.
We're old, man.
Yeah, right. So I do. I want to see that again. I'm very excited for that film.
And then, so The Eyes of Orson Welles, do you think this is standalone or do you think this is part of like this? Should we start the Welles Spine 1000 major box set with Citizen Kane being the spine? I don't know. You tell me. If you say it, I'll do it.
I would start the countdown. I can't imagine what their spine 1000 will be, but that seems to be the most obvious choice. So if we were, I guess you could set up some sort of poll and you could take odds and stuff like that. But if this was betting odds, I think that would be the most sure thing for Spine 1000.
I think, yeah, if they were in a planning meeting and they said, okay, Happy Path, we get, what's the one movie we get in that for Spine 1000? I think Citizen Kane would be
definitely
very, very top of the list. Yeah.
And I just don't see them doing another Olympic set. I don't see them doing another Bergman set. They did that not that long ago, and I don't think you have to do that for Spine 1000. It could be a singular title. I want the trial. I want Wells the trial as soon as they can get it to me. I have the Studio Canal. It looks great, but I want Criterion to put that out. But no, Citizen Kane, sure. Why not? It's got to be it.
Well, they're about 20-something spines away, so we're looking at we'll be talking about it.
Yeah,
I think
in a couple months.
And have you noticed they've had some larger months with more spines, like, you know, six titles, and you kind of wonder if they're deliberately doing that too, because November, I think, is like always prime time for Criterion. So I haven't done the math, but I think November is probably, maybe September is when to expect it. All right, well, and then they're still doing the film of the week, and so they're getting ready for this Criterion channel. I assume are you both Charter members, subscribers, whatever?
I am, yeah, definitely.
Yes. Okay. So To Sleep with Anger, the only downside to this is that arrived in my mailbox on Tuesday. have we mentioned we're on a budget? So...
Aaron, the same thing happened to me. I was unaware that I pre-ordered it. I had no idea that I had pre-ordered that thing until it showed up.
So, To Sleep with Anger, I still haven't seen it. Like I mentioned, I haven't watched a lot of movies lately, but looking forward to it. It was $22 on Amazon, so I think that's why we both pulled the trigger. Have you guys yet watched one of these? I guess is it VHX or is it Vimeo?
It's VHX.
Okay. Yeah. Have you watched one yet?
I just checked a couple nights ago to make sure it was working on my Apple TV, and it works fine. It works really well. I haven't watched anything yet. Most of them have been films that I already own, so I haven't felt the need. This is the first one that I haven't owned, and I still want to wait, I think, until I get the Blu-ray release. If they release more of their back catalog titles, the stuff that they're probably never going to get out on disc, I'll probably jump on those a little bit more during the film of the weeks. I'm just honestly happy to be a Charter member, and I'm excited for it to come back.
You'll always have that, Josh, no matter what happens in life. Doug,
I will be a Charter member.
We're Charter members.
Right. No, I'm in the same boat. I mean, in a weird way, I know why they're doing this, but it's oddly frustrating because I look behind me and I go, oh, wait, I have all these on blue. What am I doing? Like, I don't need to watch this stuff now. But I'm just happy to support their company, of course.
And of course, after Filmstruck, there was an outpouring. It was a tough period, I think, and it was actually, I guess, encouraging to hear such positive words from the community. So yeah, let's vote with our wallet. So I vote Criterion Channel Charter member. So yeah, take that. can you still be a Charter member, or is that ship sailed?
I think you still can, yeah. I'm guessing they're going to probably leave it open for a while, at least until the channel actually launches.
Well, listeners, if you want to join that exclusive club, I'm not being paid a dime. And if I'm wrong, well, then that's because I'm not being paid a dime. I don't know. All right. Well, it's been a little light period on Criterion news. I think Oscar fever takes over everything, but we're now moving into a new phase of the year. And so we're getting into spring. Hopefully the temperatures are thawing a little bit. We can get outdoors or stay indoors if we want. But the festival season is ramping up. And so we did hear from Alejandro Iñárritu. Did I get that?
Alejandro González Iñárritu.
I think something like that. That's what I said, right? he's going to be the jury president. So I think that's great. I like him. I don't love him, but you know, I've enjoyed his work. think he'll it's interesting. So we have the we didn't get into this with the Oscars, but five out of the last six have been Mexican. So
yeah.
But there's, it's really just the three.
Yes. Five out of the last six have been three people.
Yeah. So I'd like to say there's this big director tradition in Mexico, and I'm sure there is, but the three are making it to the States. I'm sure there are some Mexican directors that are like, come on, really? This guy again? But so soon we'll get the lineup announcement, and I'm sure we'll talk that over a little bit, and we'll get the Cannes Classics, which is always a big deal because those end up coming to Criterion. But I'm more interested in Il Cinema Ritrovato in Bologna, Spain. So that a little release came out about that, and they've talked about the series they're going to do. So I don't know if you guys know, but I think I'm allowed to share this, but the Criterion team goes to Bologna every year.
Yeah.
So this is like their celebration. And Bologna does a lot of, they do great work there. It's really become one of like the restoration centers on the globe. So I think that there's something for Criterion will come out of that. And they have a couple series announced. They have a Jean Gabin series. Yeah. So I think that guy's pretty cool. And they have a South Korean cinema, and I love that. Speaking of active curation, I love that more Korean cinema, well, South Korean, I don't know what's going on in North Korea, but more South Korean cinema is coming to coming on the map. Do you guys follow Bologna's Fest at all?
I pay attention. I listen to the Film Comment podcast mainly to get the lowdown on what's some of the new things that are coming out in the festival circuit. The Seattle Film Festival it's 30 days. It's a really long film festival.
I know.
And so it's really hard to sometimes figure out what to go see. And so I always try to listen to some of those, the coverage of other festivals to get an idea. This festival, it looks fantastic. I mean, as I've just been scrolling through the different programs, there are so many really great things. Like, I had no idea about Henry King, a silent filmmaker who worked all the way through sound. And that just sounds really fascinating. And I'm eager to dive into these filmmakers that I've never heard about before.
And who knows what will end up on Criterion. But I think, just like we talked about with the Bengal trilogy, Henry King, some guy that I don't know, that came to a box set and you could kind of revisit the history and his work. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Have I mentioned I love film?
Yeah.
Does that come through?
I wouldn't have guessed.
What do you think? You want to go to Bologna? Well, that's a rhetorical question. Of course you do. Sure.
Yeah,
I mean, we're debating about $20 for Blu-rays, and then I just throw out.
Right. I was like, are you paying for this? I mean, I will gladly drive to you if you're going to put me on a plane. That's fantastic.
Well, do you follow the fest?
I really don't. No, to be honest, I didn't know anything about this festival until you sent me the link earlier today.
Oh, awesome. Well, you're welcome.
Sure.
Well, I will say that last year at Bologna, one of the big hints that came out of that was that we saw a picture of Peter Cowie in this really beautiful cathedral doing an interview. And actually, I haven't gotten through the Bergman box yet enough to know where that interview materialized. But we were thinking, hey, maybe there's something going on here. There's going to be maybe the Faith trilogy or something. But hey, what do you know? We have
it's something slightly better.
We have this puppy I'm showing. I have the empty box here, but I don't know why. All right, well, festivals and then Cannes. Do you guys get excited for Cannes?
No. I mean, I don't follow it. I don't. I don't go to the movie theater. My wife and I do not watch the same films. You guys, you online people are my only film friends. I have nobody that I can physically turn to. I am too self-conscious to go to movies by myself. So I don't pay attention to what is currently happening.
First off, you film people? Are you online people?
Listen, Doug,
we are not pixels.
I say that with the most affection. I don't need people in my real life. I don't even want to talk to those people. I will communicate in the gyre, and that's it.
So is this? Could this all be like a, you know, Her, the movie?
Oh yeah, no, that's a fantasy of mine, really.
Yes, I'm ScarJo, Doug.
Right. Congrats. Yeah. Earlier before we started recording, I said my wife didn't like my beard. My telephone girlfriend loves it.
All right. Well, okay. So, final part of the I guess the news section, we have been doing tributes to people we lost, and I will mention that, well, one of these people obviously could not have made the Oscars in memoriam because she just passed a couple days ago, but Stanley Donen didn't make it. I kind of think that was a timing thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a big production that goes into that, and if you give them 2 days notice, you're not going to make it. So maybe he'll be in there next year. But Stanley Donen, he is a legend, legendary filmmaker. Yeah. And I have a kind of a personal story I'll share after you guys. But Doug, Singing in the Rain. Can we just get that out of the way? It's pretty good.
I think it's pretty great. I mean, I really do. It's comfort food for me. But Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, I love that. My mom, introduced me to that film when I was very young, and I don't know why I was watching it at like 10, but I enjoyed it, and I think Funny Face is amazing. I don't quite like Charade as much as a lot of people do, but his work is fantastic. Yeah, and I assume it was a timing thing, but it's one of those timing things where I go, you should be able to figure this out. Like, you should be able, like, I know it's a timing issue, but you put some clips in there. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, who am I to say this? I don't know what goes into it, but it surprises me when things like that.
Who are you to say this, Doug?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, everybody likes to say they know everybody's job, but it does feel like, of course, I wouldn't want to omit anybody, but we already talked about it. The Oscars were brisk. So do you have a favorite Stanley movie, Josh?
You know, I love Charade. Charade was the one that really... let me know who Stanley Donen was. I had seen so many of his films growing up with a lot of the musicals and Singing in the Rain. And, he's one of the greats. He's one of the great filmmakers. And he worked in so many different modes. And Charade was part of my introduction into really classic cinema. It was that move from Hitchcock into someone who's a little more offbeat and a little more off kilter. It holds a special place in my heart, and I think it's really, he made great films. I love his commentary on Charade. It's one of it's a really delightful commentary. Just listening to him talk about the process and be really blunt about the process, it's delightful. So I cannot recommend that commentary, especially any more highly.
I will check it out. I wouldn't say I brush Charade off, but I do kind of think of it as Hitchcock light.
Yeah.
And it is, it's not Roma, it's not The Bicycle Thieves.
Yeah.
And in fact, a lot of Stanley Donen's movies are not, they're a little offbeat. I think Seven Brides for Seven Brothers is a little warped as a musical. I think it's interesting. I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a big fan, not to speak ill of the dead, but my personal story is, so I live in this little podunk town of, it's not podunk. There's a few hundred thousand people here, but it's, we're not New York. We're not Seattle. We're not Philadelphia. He grew up here, and he, in fact, in his press release, his obituary. They don't do press releases for tragedy.
It is like the final press release, really, if you want to think of it that way.
I guess if you want to be warped, Doug, thanks for going that dark on us. Appreciate that. Right. But he went to the theater in which I'm a board member when he was a kid. And so our theater got a mention. And no, it's not about us, but it is nice to, people come from places. And there was a retrospective a couple years ago, and we're already talking about doing another little tribute to him. So, and as we should, I celebrate home talent, and it's good that we did it while he was living. And apparently he really appreciated that.
Yeah.
So, as far as Two for the Road is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
His style isn't really not my favorite style, but I do like a lot of his movies. But I think really Singing in the Rain is a classic. Yeah. I think that's the one film that that everybody should see. And nobody hates. Do you guys know anybody that has crapped on Singing in the Rain?
I feel like I may have seen heard one or two people in my 41 years, but it's one or two people.
Right. Just wait. Now the trolls are going to come out. They're like, all right, it's a piece of crap. All right, you're banned. Here, that's a rule. You can't shit on Stanley Donen. So the other one, I also have a personal story for the other one, is Katherine Helmand. And her, by the way, Donen's connection is Charade. Helmand's connection is Brazil. So if you haven't seen The Image, she has her face pulled in Brazil. But you don't really think of her as an art film actress. You think of her more TV.
Yeah.
And so I'll start with you, Josh, because you're a little younger than Doug and I. Does Katherine Helmand register for you?
You know, I remember her from Who's the Boss. I mean, that was the show that one of the sitcoms that was on when I was a kid. I remember watching it quite often. I didn't even realize that she was the woman with her face stretched in Brazil until the obituaries came out and the notices. And I think that's really, really fantastic.
That is fantastic that her face was stretched beyond belief.
Exactly, exactly.
Doug.
Yeah, you know what? I have to echo what Josh said. I think that while our ages don't overlap, I think I only watched Who's the Boss for the first couple seasons, but that's where I know her. I mean, she is always, like, the moment she died, I went, oh no, Mona from Who's the Boss is dead. That's so sad. Of course, Soap. I mean, I didn't watch Soap until I was a little bit older, but I was able to dig back through and watch that, which is wildly entertaining and such a bizarre TV show. Like, that is a very of its time. Oh, and if people have not watched Soap, go find it. It's crazy. I can't even do justice trying to explain it. But it's one of those things. It's like when, oh my God, I can only think of his character's name, Jack Tripper. When he died, like, John, I was like, I was oddly sad and I didn't know why. And it was the same thing with her passing.
And you are absolutely right about Soap. And I haven't seen it since I was a kid because, you know, that was a perennial rerun. And but it really, I don't know how people in this generation would handle that, because if you think about it, it was kind of a mockumentary about. Yeah. I mean, and it referenced something that was a phenomenon at the time that's really gone. There probably are a couple soap operas on now. I don't know them. I don't think so. I guess that now everything's moved to, like, online.
They have them, but there's a lot more game shows on now in the middle of the day on those major networks.
There's so much more to compete with, you know. When we were kids, all, you know, it was Soaps. If we're sick, it was Soaps or Price is Right. So
that was all it was.
Well, my personal story is that I think a lot of you know that I lived in North Hollywood, and I got to hobnob with the stars. Not really, but I did bump into a lot of celebrities, and it's kind of an unspoken rule: you don't go bother them. You know, they're just residents. You give them their privacy, and be respectful. But one night, I ate dinner at the table next to Katherine Helmand, so that was interesting. And I didn't eavesdrop, so I don't know if she was a bitch or I'm sure she was very pleasant. She looked like she looked. That's one thing. I don't think she tried to disguise herself. I ate lunch next to a lot of people, so this will be a recurring theme. Who Aaron ate lunch to in 2000?
And one last thing, just as I was scrolling through her filmography, you know, she was in Time Bandits as well. She was in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. So she worked with Terry Gilliam a lot. She was in Hitchcock's Family Plot as well.
Interesting. So, okay, well, here I did her injustice. She has three Criterion connections. Yeah. So well done. And that's great, you know, that she had the opportunity to stretch her artistic chops. I'll bet she loved that, being in those films. All right, well, we are done with the news and good tributes, so thank you. Now it's time for Short Takes, where we talk about a Criterion movie we've seen recently, and I am such a cheater. I am a loser this week. So I'm a loser every week, but especially so this week. Not really. I'm a very positive person. Doug, what's your short take?
Oh, I'm going to talk about a movie that not a whole lot of people have heard of. It's a small little film called The Princess Bride, which I've finally decided to watch because my daughter's 12, and it was just one afternoon. We were hanging around. Everybody else in the house was gone, and she's always looking at my, you know, shelf of films, and most of them she points at, and I'm like, no, nope, not ready for that one. And I just put it on, and it's a movie that I've seen so many times, and a lot of times when you've seen a movie that much and there's not, I don't want to say there's not much to take in or not much to get out of it each time, I kind of wasn't looking forward to watching it again. I was watching it more for her experience than mine, but it's just a joy. Like, it's just such a pleasurable film to sit and watch, and just watching her watch it made it all worthwhile. Yeah. I mean, you know, again, I've seen enough. I have two more daughters. I'm going to have to watch it at least two more times. But it was just a lot of fun. And I dug around into the extras just a little bit. But yeah, that's it. That's my short take. And everybody's seen it. So what am I talking about?
I kind of want to know about your daughter's reaction to other films on the shelf. Like, are we having the, hey, sweetie, you know, a sale is not about chocolate conversation?
Well, yeah, I mean, oddly enough, I mean, she's sort of wandered in when I'm watching things from time to time. And it's not as though she's seeing something shocking and terrible. Mm-hmm. She's just seeing something that to her is the most boring thing she's ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think she trusts me when I say, no, let's not watch this one, but here's this. And I love it because of, you know, films like Black Stallion, things that I, to be honest, if I did not have a daughter to watch that with, I don't know that it would be high on my watch list. But I got that, that's I put great. It in. So
I don't have a daughter, and I love Black Stallion. So
sure,
beautiful movie.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me know what your daughter thinks of Sallow. Josh, do you have a short take that's that whether you watch it with a 12-year-old or not? This one I would not actually. I already know what it is, so do not watch this with a 12-year-old.
Yeah, I watched Canoa, A Shameful Memory, and this goes back to what we've been talking about a lot of this episode. This idea that it was a film that wasn't on my radar at all until Criterion released it. It's one of the reasons I love Criterion, and it was just the next up in my kind of OCD film viewing rotation, and it ended up being the perfect film to watch post-Oscars because there's an introduction by Guillermo del Toro. There's a conversation between Alfonso Cuarón and the film's director. And I will just say I was blown away. This is going to be a strong candidate for me for one of my favorite discoveries of the year. This is outstanding. You know, I love the hybrid of the political thriller. It's got elements of horror in it. The pseudo documentary aspects, all of those things combined together shouldn't work, but they do. And I love the direct addresses to the camera, and then the building horror and dread and sense of doom that comes over the film. It feels incredibly relevant today. The idea of a demagogue who whips people into a frenzy of fear and violence. And I just think it's a powerful film. It's I want to see more of Cazal's films. I think this is outstanding, and cannot recommend it highly enough.
Yeah, it's a good one. Now, hold on. Rewind a little bit. Did you say, because I remember earlier you said you watched a movie after the Oscars, a light movie. This was the
no,
light
this
movie
was not
the
light
the
movie.
Oscars.
No. Oh, okay. This was me getting back into it. No. My wife and I went to go see the Lego movie, too, in
okay,
theaters.
Okay,
so.
Right.
Yes, no.
Because I had some misperceptions about you for a second there, Josh. All right, well, mine is a total cheat. I've been so busy this week. It's just really the last 2 weeks. No excuses. Just haven't had time to watch a lot of movies, although I do have a really good piece of flair. But my short take is a cheat. I watched some of Scenes of a Marriage. I'm through, like, most of the second episode, so that's about a movie.
Yeah.
And I'll just say that it's pretty good. You know, I I guess I'm not going to watch it with a 12-year-old, but it's well done. He very well defined characters. I think I kind of have an idea what's coming, and I think he's establishing that pretty well. There's a really interesting friendly couple that that appears early on in the series that had a really interesting sequence. It's not it's not The Princess Bride, so it actually isn't even like 8 hours don't make a day, where it's really it flows. I actually kind of wonder how the TV version, which is what I'm watching, how that plays compared to the theatrical. Which no, I'm not gonna just stop and restart the theatrical and see, or the yeah. Have you guys seen both or either?
I had seen it a very long time ago, to the point where I don't really remember it. I assume that watching it again would be like watching it for the first time. But yeah, it's been a long time.
Okay, well, it's about marriage and scenes.
Oh, okay. All right, now I remember all of it.
Yeah, I have not seen it, but my wife and I are working our way through the box set. We're doing about a film every couple of weeks or so. We just finished To Joy last night, actually, and we'll be coming up on Scenes of a Marriage pretty soon.
I'm doing the same thing, so expect a lot of short takes, and I'm probably going to cheat again on the next episode and give you my short take of Scenes of a Marriage, unless something loses my voice. Maybe To Sleep with Anger. In fact, that might be going in the player pretty soon. So that's the main part of the show. So all we have left is our little piece of flair. Cool. And let me just ask you guys, do you like Piece of Flair?
I love Piece of Flair. I really do.
Yeah, okay. It's fun.
As listeners, too?
Yeah, yep. I do. I really like it as listeners.
All right, Piece of Flair. It's something that has nothing to do with Criterion, but it's just something we're into. So, Doug, what's your Piece of Flair?
Well, I'm going to promote your podcast network very quickly here, Aaron, because I was listening to the 25th Frame, and there's a show on there called Movie Silently, and I love it. It's so great. I think I'm coming at this differently than I don't know if it's most of the listeners or just certainly I think Aaron, you fall into this category where you had read Fritzy for quite a while. I hadn't.
Really?
Silent films for me are a huge blind spot. I mean, I know the heavy hitters. I know the horrors. I know, Metropolis. But other than that, and the comics, I mean, I don't know anything about it. So it was a wonderful education to me, and I'm looking forward to seeing what she does next and just what each episode does explore. But as I told her, I kind of just said, I might learn more from her podcast than I do from a lot of the other film podcasts that I listen to, because a lot of that stuff isn't new to me. And so everybody should listen to it. It's wonderful.
Yeah, a first episode about tinting, of all things.
Yeah, right,
so
right.
I haven't heard it yet, and that's the one drawback. Like you, I'm having a 7-minute commute, is I don't get to listen to a lot of podcasts. Sure. But I do know Fritzy, and I just can say she's an awesome human being, and she's one of the smartest, maybe the smartest people I know as far as silent film knowledge, and actually just general knowledge too. Why not? So good Piece of Flair. Yeah. Thanks for promoting the network, and her first episode went up this week. Highly recommend you people check it out. You online people. Josh, what's your Piece of Flair?
I've got two really short ones. We talk a lot about Canopy in the shows, but there's another library streaming service that gets talked about a little bit in our Facebook groups, but it's called Hoopla. And it doesn't have maybe as many great films as Canopy, but it has some really, really great a few here and there that pop up. Right now, Burning is streaming on Hoopla. Mm-hmm. Shoplifters is streaming on Hoopla. Oh. Mandy is streaming on Hoopla. I think they have the entire Mark Cousins series, The Story of Film. So it has some really, it's a really great resource to check out if you're looking for another free streaming service. And then, as we're talking about the My Collection part of the Criterion page, I've been started using an app called iCollect, and it's a way for me to log all of my films. We almost had a fire in the building right next to ours, and I had just completed my Criterion collection, and I suddenly panicked and thought, "Oh, good Lord, what if I lose all of my Criterion films?" And so it's a great way to you can scan the back of the discs and kind of catalog everything and enter in value. So I enter in the, you know, eBay values for all those out of print titles. And I'm using it for insurance purposes, but it's also a great way to to catalog all of your films and not just your Criterion films.
I think insurance purposes, that's very smart to do. Don't forget these things are worth money and insure them. Otherwise, in fact, we had knew somebody, Robert Taylor. In fact, I meant to have him on. I have to get him on at some point. But he lost his entire collection to like a flood. And so that will change a person.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I do have, I think, a more interesting piece of flair than my short take. Nothing against Scenes from a Marriage, but just since I didn't finish it. But this is a first. This is the first time I'm going to be talking about something I've already talked about, a piece of flair, and then something that makes fun of that piece of flair. So this, a couple weeks ago, we had the relaunch of, or the season 3 debut of Documentary Now, which is one of my favorite comedy series on the air. And I've talked about it numerous times on this podcast and other podcasts. And I love that, you know, they take the piss out of classic film, modern film. So anyway, they're in season, quote, 52 now, because they started at 50, with Helen Mirren introducing. And they, Batshit Valley is making fun of Wild Wild Country, which I'm pretty sure was a piece of flair.
Yeah.
Really, really great Netflix series. Oh, I wouldn't say great, but really watchable, and really highly recommend it, watching that one. I think it's either 7 or 8 parts about this society from India that I guess technically they were a cult / religion / spirituality or philosophy, and they like to have wild orgies, which is a real thing, and then they took over a town. So this two part, the first two episodes were about Batshit Valley. And they capture the essence of the documentary, even the weird font. Have you guys seen Wild Wild Country?
Yeah, I have.
I have not, no.
Okay, check it out, Doug. But they take the story in different directions, funny directions, and it's really a great 2 hours of watching Documentary Now. I think most of the other episodes are not Criterion focused, which is probably a first for this series. I think the next one they're doing is Company, by I guess that's Sondheim, right?
Yeah, it's
So Michael Hutchins will be appreciative of that. So that's on IFC, but we don't have that, so we just rented it from Amazon. So.
Nice.
All right, that's the show. Where can people find you online, Dougie Doug?
Well, just find Good Times Great Movies wherever you find podcasts. Well, no, don't do that. Hold on. No, what you should do, everybody, if you are not subscribed to the 25th Frame Master Feed, you should do that. Because there you'll get my show, you'll get Movies Silently, you'll get this show, you'll get Magic Lantern, you'll get the complete. I could keep going because I'm sure I forgot one and I feel really bad for whoever I forgot.
Film Baby Film. Yeah.
But Film Baby Film.
Yeah. You're welcome, Jonathan.
Sorry, John.
We'll talk to him later about that, John.
Yeah. But anyway, find the podcast. It's, I don't know, it's a lot of fun to do, and I would hope it's a lot of fun for people to listen to. And we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that great stuff. Just type it into Google. You'll find the show.
Find Doug on Google. There you go. Okay.
There you go. Use a search engine. You people know how to use a search engine, right?
I know. It's not like we've never been on this episode before. So, Josh, aside from Google, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh Hornbeck. I post what I'm watching, short film reviews. I've been doing more and more of that on Instagram as well. And then you can find me online at joshhornbeck.wordpress.com. I just finished up all of my Oscar coverage, where I did a final recap of the Oscars, and I'll be trying to get in my last two favorite films of 2018 lists coming up in the next little bit before I start the mad dash to cover the Seattle International Film Festival in a couple months.
You are a madman with Oscars and festivals. I love it. And Criterions, too. Yeah. Just in general. And I don't mean madman in a negative way.
I'll take it.
I'm Aaron West. I'm AWest 505 on some stuff. But, you know, I'm going to, yeah. Thanks, Doug. I'm really proud of what we put together at 25th Frame.
Yeah.
Follow the we're keeping the content at high quality, and we have some other things coming up soon, so I recommend you listen to or subscribe to the Master Feed for this show, for Doug's show, you know, to hear Josh's on all these shows. We have some fun things coming on the 25th Frame features, and please support us on Patreon, and support Doug too, but most importantly, support us. and that's patreon.com/criterionnow, but it really is 25th Frame. And that's actually how we're going to keep growing and bringing you other shows. So thank you for your support. And thank you, Doug and Josh, for talking to us.
Thanks.
Thank you, Aaron. It's always fun.
The 25th Frame, a listener-supported network celebrating film and culture worldwide.